Amen. Let's praise Him that He's healer and savior and deliverer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe you didn't even come forward this morning, but you got a special need. Why don't you reach up to Him right now? Hallelujah. Oh, through the cross, through the resurrection, through the blood, through the Spirit. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Well, I was going to save you a trip, but if you turn to Revelation 22 this morning, I appreciate the Spirit of the Lord at work in the service, touching people, encouraging them to be helped and healed right in the middle of the service. Amen. If you found your place in Revelation 22, if you'd stand for the reading of God's Word, and we just got a few more stops in the book of Revelation, and we will be complete with that. And the underlying goal is that we would be prepared, amen, for the coming of the Lord. It would be a man blind to Scripture that cannot be aware of the news of our world and not see the parallel between prophecy and what has taken place. Amen. I want to tell you one thing. Hearts in tune with the Lord are always going to recognize when time is short. It always works that way. Can you say amen? Well, there's a group of people getting ready to leave. Amen. Revelation chapter 22. Read a few verses here. Keep your Bibles open after the reading of the Word. We'll be referring back to these verses. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees, or the tree, were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. We could stop and shout right there. Let me read that again. Think about what that says. And there shall be no more curse. Hallelujah. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And His servants, any of His servants here this morning? Six, thank God. And His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever and ever, reigning with Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. I want to preach this morning on back to the garden. Back to the garden. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. There is something that Christians recognize and describe about heaven, and they put it this way. They say, I'm homesick for heaven. Think about that, homesick for heaven. Way back 100 years ago in the 70s, they would sing songs like that. See the bright light shine. It's just about home time. And in there, they would say, Lord, I've never been this homesick before. And what about Beulah Land? They've relegated it to funerals, but they used to sing it in church, believe it or not, Beulah Land. And how does it start? I'm kind of what? Homesick for a country. To what? Where I've never been before. Some of those thinkers in the church, that got to bother them, and they were struck by that, and they asked the question, how could you be homesick for a place you've never been? I want to try to answer that question with these verses this morning. I want to try to answer the question, how can we be homesick for a place we've never been? Now, I'm going to explain that, but let me answer that question real simply right here and right now. How can we be homesick for a place we've never been? Because we have been there. Don't spook out on me. Stay with me. We have been there. I'm not talking about out-of-body experiences. near-death experiences. We have been there. Let me make it a little more pointed. We've come from there. I can tell you're believing me. Let me back up just a half a step and say, I believe one of the main reasons our American society and the present generation is so lost and bumbling and blundering in how to live is because they don't know where they've come from. Our revisionist historians have taken care of that. Our schools have taken care of that. On the American level, they don't know why folks came to America. They don't know the principles the founders used to establish our country. The stories about honor and courage and respect have been changed to make people out, good people out to be villains and imperialists and all of this. And no wonder there's the confusion and the blundering through life. People don't know where they've come from. I would like to posit this morning, if you don't know where you've come from, you really can't know where you're going. Amen. You know why I can know I'm going to heaven this morning? Because I know I came from Calvary. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. And I want to make the statement. I think you'll agree with me by the time that we're finished. But we have all come from heaven. Some won't make it back, but we've all came from heaven. I'm not talking about your spirit before you were born. I'm talking about, if you're wondering, how did we all come from heaven? Because we have all come from Adam and Eve, and this humanity stretches all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and the Garden of Eden was paradise. It was heaven on earth. You see, we got a very awful world to live in. And you know this, but I want to reemphasize it. Mankind did not begin his existence in this kind of world. Mankind did not begin his existence in a world of hate and a world of pain and a world of suffering and a world of disease and a world of deformation and a world of sin and a world of darkness and a world of demons and a world of crime and a world of perversion. We did not begin our trek through this journey of life in that kind of world. No, sir. When God created man, he put man to begin existence in the most perfect environments that can be imagined. He placed Adam and Eve upon creation. He placed them in a garden. Oh, what a paradise. What a heaven on earth. What a beautiful place. Ever need met. None of the things that makes life miserable here. I just want to reiterate, in that Garden of Eden, there was no Satan till he slithered in the moment of temptation. But there was no Satan. There was no sin. There was no death. There were no funeral homes. There were no hospitals. There were no jails. I'm telling you, when God created man, he put him in a garden. Hallelujah. He put him in paradise. Hallelujah. But you see, the story is because of man's choice to sin, sin got man kicked out of the garden. Sin got man expelled from the garden. Sin got man expelled from heaven on earth. And leaving the garden, man had to leave the river. And leaving the garden, man had to leave the tree of life. And leaving the garden, man had to leave the perfection of environment. And leaving the garden, man left unbroken, unhindered, face-to-face fellowship with God the Creator. Man was expelled from the garden to live in a sin-cursed world under the curse of sin. Amen. Man began in the garden, but once expelled, God put a flaming sword and fierce angels from heaven to bar man from ever re-entering into the garden. Amen. Sin got them expelled, and now sin keeps them barred from entering. I want to pause and say, from the very beginning of Genesis, the message is clear. Sin will put you out of the garden. Sin will keep you out of the garden. Sin will keep you out of heaven. You can't change that message of Scripture. And once expelled, ever since, man has been struggling in his existence. Man has been struggling in his world. Man has been facing pain and sickness. Many of you have problems this morning. I'm not saying you're currently sinning. I'm telling you that's a result of sin. You're suffering in this house. You have struggles of mind. You have struggles in your family because we've been barred from the garden and we're living under the curse and we're wandering in a barren, amen, a sinful world, amen, far from where God had put us. Oh, but I got to tell you, even though we're not there yet, barred from the garden, living in this cursed world, God sent Jesus, he who knew no sin, took upon him the sin. He who was not under the curse took upon him the curse. And because of Jesus, our sins can be removed and we can realize the gate to the garden has been reopened. We're headed back to the garden. Sin kept us out, but Jesus is introducing a way back in. Oh, hallelujah. We're headed back to the garden. We are headed to heaven. And so in brief, that explains how we can be homesick for a place we've never been. Mankind came from there. It's in the collective memory of humanity that this world is not our home. Our home is the garden. We began living in the garden, and God has always meant that to be our home. Oh, I'm homesick for a place sin got us kicked out of. Hallelujah. Anybody here tired of this world we're living in? Oh, I wish we'd just sing it with conviction one more time. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up. Hallelujah. Amen. The garden is heaven. God is bringing man back to where he originally was by making man what he originally was. You see, that's the story of redemption. Sin took its toll upon us, and through the redemption of Jesus Christ, he is redeeming us back to the state he created us in. And having redeemed us to the state he is going to place us back in the environment he created us to live in. We're back to the garden. Back to the garden is back to the river. I want you to see this. Back to the river. Revelation 22 and verse 1. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now, back to the garden. So let's go back to the garden. Genesis 2:10. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from thence it was parted and became into four heads. Back in the garden, there was a river. We're at the end of the book. That's Genesis. We're at the end of the book. And the revelator said, we're headed back to the river. Oh, we left that river, but we're headed back to the river. The prophet Ezekiel in the Old Testament saw this river running through the new age to come. Ezekiel 47. Afterward, he brought me into the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. And from the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and waters came down from under, from the right side of the house on the south side of the altar. Amen. Ezekiel got a glimpse forward and he saw the garden ahead, and there is a river coming from the very house and throne of God. And so let's go back to verse 1. We're headed back to the river. Amen. He showed me this pure river of water of life. Oh, hallelujah. You see, the thing about a river is it's running water, and running water is fresh water, and running water is refreshing and renourishing water. Running water is free from stagnation. Running water is free from pollution. Running water is free from a yucky warmness. This is free, fresh, clean, living water. Oh, we're headed there. Thank God we're headed headed there. You can look at a map, and almost every city is founded upon a river. Amen. Almost every city of any significance is founded on a river. Why? Because where there is a river, there is life. Oh, I almost had to sing it this morning. Dust the cobwebs off and sing it. But we used to sing what the psalmist said. There is a river. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, its source may be in heaven, but it flows all the way from heaven down the aisles and around the altar of this house this morning. Can you believe that? I'm talking about the river of the water of life. Hallelujah. Do you hear the words of Jesus? If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee, give me drink, thou would have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. Oh, but sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From which then hast thou that living water? Jesus said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up, running. I'm telling you, if you're thirsty this morning, you can drink from the river. Oh, hallelujah. But one day we're headed back to the very source of that river. You see, to partake of this world's pleasures is to drink the filthy, contaminated, polluted, germy waters of the sewage of sin. But to come to Christ is to drink the pure, crystal clear, living waters. I got to tell you something about a river. You know how I get real deep. But the thing about a river is, how do you know it's a river and not a puddle? Because in a river, the water is always just keep on coming. Wasn't that deep? How many knows that's true about a river? The water. You can stand right here and the water just keeps coming. Brother, we're headed back to the garden. It's a river of living. You know what that means? When we get to heaven, the blessings just keep coming. The refreshing just keeps coming. Oh, hallelujah. The presence of God just keeps coming. The love just keeps coming. And a never-ending, continuous stream. Glory to God. Aren't you glad we're headed back to the garden? Hallelujah. To that river. Heaven is the place of abundant satisfaction of the deepest desires that we have. It is a refreshing from our every weariness. I want you to notice one more thing and we'll move on. Notice where it comes from. It proceeds out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. That's where it comes from. Back in Ezekiel, he told us the same thing. He said that river he saw came from the very presence of God. Could I just tell us and remind us this morning that the source of living water, the source of the water of life, is none other than God himself and Jesus Christ. Notice it says the throne of God and the Lamb of God. I'll tell you where the water of life comes from. It comes from the place where he is Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Where he is ruler and where his blood is applied, you will find living water. Amen. There may be a handful in the house that recognize this photo. Amen. We drove by the park this summer, started to stop and we didn't. But this is Roaring River State Park in Missouri. And if you've ever been there, it'll amaze you because you'll stand there and when you look at that cave right there, this huge river is coming right out of that cave. That's where it begins, right there. They've had divers that have went down in there over 200 feet, maybe 400. I can't remember the writing. Just right now, and never got to the bottom of it. Oh, what a source. That water that comes out of there is the cleanest, clearest, coldest water you've ever seen. And that's just a natural phenomena and a natural wonder. Oh, but listen, if you look ahead to heaven, if you look at the throne of God, there is the water of life, Sister Karen, and it's flowing. It's flowing. Oh, the depths of His love. Oh, the depths of His mercy. Oh, the refreshing. Oh, the restoration. Oh, the life-giving. Hallelujah. How many's glad that that river has flowed all the way into your life and you can drink this morning. It'll quench every thirst. Hallelujah. It'll quench the real thirst of your soul. Nothing out there will ever quench. Never, ever, ever. But drink from the spring of living water and you'll know refreshing. Back to the garden. Back to the garden is back to the river. Back to the garden is back to the tree of life. Let's look in Revelation. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. That's Revelation. Now let's go back to Genesis. Back to the garden. And out of the garden made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Here it is. And the tree of life also in the midst of the garden. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In heaven, Revelation, tree of life. Go back to the garden, Genesis, tree of life. We're headed back to the garden because we're headed back to the tree of life. Hallelujah. Here's a sad story. I mentioned it, but in Genesis 3, he drove out man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way. Why? Why did he put me in? Why did he not want me in back in the garden? To keep them from the tree of life. See, prior to sin, God pointed to the tree of life and said, eat, 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 eat. Just don't eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But now because of sin, God had to say, you can't eat, you can't eat. Have you ever wondered why it was so important that God keep man from eating of the tree of life after he had eaten the tree of knowledge and evil? Why was that so important? And by the way, before I tell you that, let me tell you just real briefly. The sin of eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, of course God said not to, but the sin was desiring to make decisions, and particularly moral decisions, without God. Man is saying, if I'll eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I'll know for myself what's best for me, and I don't need to listen to God anymore. Is that not where we're at? Men are still trying to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We don't need God to tell us what's good morality. So why then, after they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, did God say, I can't let you eat of the tree of life? Because the moment man sinned, God said, you're going to die. Now, he didn't immediately physically die, but he started dying. The body started deteriorating. The mind died. The spirit died. Now, I know right after that, because the environment was still, even outside the garden, was pure and the gene pool was pure. I know they didn't immediately die and they lived quite old ages. Please, I'm not trying to make fun of the illustration I'm about to give. It's the realities of life. We don't live to 800, 900 years anymore. We live to maybe 100. And again, please, I'm not trying to make fun. But how many knows as you age, that death of sin working in you really starts to show? Just look at me. I'm an example, okay? Someone asked me, do you have cancer? I said, no, I'm just getting old. Now, look, you know, it shows at 50, 2, 3. How many have seen you can get those apps now, the aging booth? You can take a picture. Who wants to see that? What kind of twisted mind wants to see that? Okay, age yourself. You're 53. Age yourself 10 years. It's getting worse, isn't it? Age yourself 10 more years. You're 73, 80, 90, 100. But what if you worked that and you showed yourself at the same progression at 150? 200. See, it was God's mercy. He didn't let him eat of the tree of life because the tree of knowledge and good and evil brought sin, and sin brought decay and destruction and deterioration. And if they had got a hold of the tree of life, Brother Ryan, they would have lived forever, but in a deteriorating state. Can you imagine in the aging booth after 2,000, 3,000 years? It'd be horrible. So rather than letting man get back to the tree of life in the fallen, deteriorating state, God had a plan where he could bring life and healing back. It's called redemption. And God started with the soul that died, and he brought it back, the spirit that died, and he brought the spirit back to, and right now he's working on renewing our minds. Oh, and one day, guess what? One day, guess what? Through Christ, he's going to give us a new body made like unto his glory, and then we can eat of the tree of life and live forever because we've been redeemed. We've been brought back. Sin has been removed. Oh, hallelujah. We're back to the tree of life. I tell you, we really found the tree of life when we visited the cross. And when we visited that tree, amen, we found the way back to, oh, hallelujah. How many knows the cross? The tree of the cross is the way. Oh, hallelujah. We are back to the tree. Look what it says here. Verse 2. This tree produced fruits every month. Not that there's months in heaven, but the point is there's a constant provision of this fruit, and this fruit is health and healing. Just like the river keeps coming, the tree keeps bearing. There's never a shortage on the fruit of the tree of life. I want to remind us one more time, please hear me across the building. Everything of this world and its pleasures that we partake of brings death. It has ever since the tree of knowledge. You partake of this, it'll kill you. You say, well, I'm 20 years old. I'm healthy as can be. Yeah, but you've partaken of the world, and it's killed your joy. It's killed your sensitivity to the things of God. It's taken your purity. It'll kill. Oh, but there is a tree of life that when you partake of it, it brings satisfaction, it brings abundance, it brings joy. In heaven, there'll be no hiatus, there'll be no putting on pause, because the tree is forever bearing a complete, continual satisfaction of the soul. And it says here, there will be a healing. You say, wait a minute, in heaven, nobody will get sick, in heaven, nobody will get hurt. Why do we need a tree of healing? I'll tell you why, because we do get sick here, and we do get hurt here, and we stumble through this life with injuries and hurts and sicknesses and problems with our mind and problems with our body. But I'm telling you, when we get to heaven and we partake of the tree, everything that's wrong with us is going to be healed. Oh, hallelujah. And beyond that, it doesn't just mean healed from past hurts, but it means, thank God, in heaven there is an eternal health. Nobody gets sick. Nobody gets hurt. Nobody gets injured. I mean, no mind is messed up. No emotions are in a turmoil. Why? Because there's a tree of life that continually bears and bears. Oh, hallelujah. How many's glad we're back to the tree? Glory to God. And then back to the garden is back to the place of no curse. Look at verse 3. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. Let's go back to the garden, Genesis. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree with which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. I'm telling you, because of sin, man left the garden cursed and entered into a cursed world. You got to understand, when you say how bad things are in our world, it's under a curse. I'm not talking about witches and Wiccan and New Age stuff. I'm talking, it's under the curse of sin, the defilement, the deterioration, the awful consequences of death. You may not believe it, but I'm telling you, it's the truth. Brother Richie, our bodies are cursed. Our minds are cursed. Our souls were cursed. The ground is cursed. The geology is cursed. We have mosquitoes. We have tornadoes and hurricanes and been drought and famine. This world is cursed. But look, we're headed back to the garden. Amen. There was no curse in the garden. And we're headed to a place where there is no curse. How can we do it? How can we have the curse removed from our spirit, mind, body? How can we live in a place? Because Jesus took the curse for us. Because hath not Scripture said, cursed is everyone that hangs from the tree. And when he hung on the tree, he took our curse. Hallelujah. We're headed back to a place of no curse. Oh, glory to God. I wish somebody would get happy about going to heaven this morning. We're headed back to the garden. Glory to God. We got folks in our church right now struggling under sickness and illness. Oh, we're headed for a place there's no curse. Glory to God. Well, glory to God. I got to make one note here. Look at the last part. If we go back to verse 3 for just a moment. And his servants shall serve him. I've heard skeptics and people that don't believe in Christianity say, you know, this thing about heaven, that's just a fairy tale. And besides, who wants to go to heaven? I'll be bored in heaven. What do you mean? Well, because in heaven, all you do is float around on big fluffy clouds and play harps all the time. I'd be bored stiff. And maybe you've wondered that too. What are we going to do in heaven? He told us, his servants shall serve him. Hallelujah. What does that mean? We'll be busy doing things in heaven that bring glory to the Lamb. How many's ever been in a church service with all the Spirit of the Lord came down in such a powerful way, and before you knew it, 3 and 4 hours had passed? Don't sound boring to me, does it? You? Can you imagine being in heaven, worshiping, serving Him? I want to warn us now, if a person's not too interested in serving Him here on earth, I'm not real sure they're going to make it to heaven. Because the occupation of heaven is not just to lie on a cloud and play a harp. It's to serve the Lamb. Worship the Lamb. You say, how is that back to the garden? Because man was put in the garden to tend it. He had something to do in the garden. Adam didn't get bored. Adam didn't have anything to do, just sit there and twiddle his thumbs. Adam had something to do in the garden. He was to tend the garden. And when we get to heaven, we're going to have an occupation. It's to serve the Lord. By the way, that's our occupation right now. Our occupation isn't to have just a good time on earth. Our occupation isn't just to, you know, rise in popularity and wealth. I don't care how old you are. If you're a Christian, your full-time occupation is to serve the Lord. Oh, isn't that missing in our churches today? Church, you know, church can be therapeutic, but you're not here for therapy. You're here to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I come to church to get blessed. You've missed it a million miles. You come to church because He is worthy to be praised. Oh, for all things were created to bring Him glory and honor and praise. Oh, I'm about done. I really am. Why don't we just stop and let's just praise Him for a moment. Come on. You see, I'm not feeling anything. That's beside the point. Serve Him with gladness. Come on, let's worship Him. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, young people. Thank you. Just worship Him. Serve Him. Oh, Lord, what can I do to praise You? What can I do to serve You? How can I bring glory to You? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we may go to heaven doing this in a few moments. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not here for a spiritual massage. I'm not here to have all my wants and whims accommodated. I am here in the house of God to serve Him. And when I walk out the doors, first and foremost, whatever my age, occupation, my main occupation is I am a servant of the Most High. Hallelujah. We're going back to the garden. We're going back to the full presence of God. Verse 4, they shall see His face. His name shall be in their foreheads. There shall be no night. Amen. Why? Amen. Because of the presence of the Lord. Let's go back to the garden. Verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. What was it in the garden? It wasn't just the nice fruit. It wasn't just the cool water. It was in the garden. Amen. They walked and talked face-to-face communion in the presence of the Lord. See, sin will do that. Sin will get you expelled from the presence of God. You can even sit in a service where the heaven is coming down and the Spirit of the Lord is moving. But with sin in your life, you don't even recognize it. Sin gets you expelled from the presence. But I want to tell you, hallelujah, we're headed back to the garden. You say, don't we feel the presence of God here? Yes, but it's hampered and hindered by our flesh, the robe of flesh, by problems and troubles. They're always there pressing. But I'm telling you, we're headed to the place of the uninterrupted, unblocked presence of God. How many wants to make it into His presence? How many say you're never more fulfilled and satisfied than when you're in the presence of Jesus? Oh, into the presence of Jesus. Amen. Verse 4, they shall see His face and His name shall be in their foreheads. You've got to understand this in the context of the Bible. You could be one who came into the court of the king. Hear me. But in Bible times, if you fell out of favor with the king and the king was angry at you, he would make this statement: take that man out of here and don't let him see my face again. That meant you were out of favor of the king. That happened to man. Take him out of this garden and don't let him see my face again. Look what Pharaoh said about Moses. If you got the scripture there, amen. Pharaoh said, get thee from me and take heed to thyself to see my face no more. For in the day that thou seest my face, thou shalt die. Man had offended the King of Kings, and God said, leave this garden. You'll not look on my face anymore. Even Moses, he said, oh God, let me see your glory. And God said, no man can look at my face and live. But if you'll get in the cleft of the rock, I'll cover you. And when I pass by, you can see my under parts. Amen. In the tabernacle, in the temple, there was a veil there. And Israel could not see into the presence of God. The Shekinah, the face of God, they could not look upon it. Oh, hallelujah. But we got our first glimpse of the face of God. Amen. Through Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son of the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Amen. Philip said, shew us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said, have you been so long time with me, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. I'm telling you, we got a picture of who God is through Christ. But I'm telling you, we're going back to the garden. We'll walk, we'll talk in the presence of God, and we'll do what Moses could not do. We will look on the face of God. Hallelujah. How many wants to go back to the garden, to His presence? No candle, because His presence is a light. Let's go on to that last point, brother. We're going back to dominion. Back to dominion. Revelation 22:5. There shall be no night there, no candle, neither light. And they shall reign forever and ever. Let's go to Genesis, to the garden. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. I'm telling you, when man was in the garden, he was in control. He was the ruler of that garden. He had dominion. After sin, other things took dominion. Weather, animals, sickness. How many know sickness can get a hold of you and it's in control, not you of it? Man lost his dominion. The psalmist said, oh Lord, thou art my Lord. When I consider the heavens the work of thy hands, the moon and the stars which thou hast foreordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? And that psalmist said in verse 6, thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. But because of sin, man lost control. What was supposed to be under the feet of man became on top the head of man. Man, that's one reason man lives with addictions. Amen. That's the thing. You know, you drink, you smoke, you get in drugs and all those other illicit desires. You'll find out in a hurry that man has lost control. That thing controls you. You don't control it. Isn't that right? Oh, I wish I had time to preach. I got to wrap it up. I wish I had time to go into this. I won't accept to tell you. But when Jesus came as a man, he never sinned. He overcame every temptation. He overcame Satan and he overcame death. He rose again. And when he rose again, Paul said he sat down at the right hand of the Father and everything was under his feet. Every principality, every power, every sickness, every cancer was under his feet. And then, hallelujah, hold on. And then, amen, when we get saved, Paul said he takes us and he raises us up and makes us to sit with Christ in the heaven. Well, where's Christ sitting? With all things under his feet. If he's raised us up, Sister Dale, and made us sit with Christ, if they're under his feet, they're under our feet too. Hallelujah. You just didn't know you were a victor. You just didn't know. I mean, all through Revelation, we've seen it. The promises to the overcomer. The promises to the... I'm going to tell you, you do not have to be overcome. You do not have to be controlled. You do not have to have addictions. Why? Because through Christ, you can receive the dominion again. Hallelujah. I know we struggle now, but in the garden, man had complete dominion over every bacteria, every virus, every animal, every problem. But I'm telling you, we're headed back to the garden. Christ has begun the work, and when we get to heaven, we'll be in complete control under his lordship. Everything will be under our feet. Amen. We will have overcome. We will have conquered through Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you don't have to be ruled by this world? You don't have to be ruled by sin. You don't have to be ruled by this flesh. Through Christ, you can have dominion. You can be an overcomer. Music, would you come? So I'll quit. What's in control of your life? Bitterness, pornography, hate, anger, lust. Christ can give you dominion over those things through his power instead of you living as a servant to those things. So let me summarize. Satan got us kicked out of the garden, but Jesus is the way back in. Sin was the reason we were expelled, but the blood opened up the way back in. We're headed back to the garden. There's a mantra today. There's a little bit of truth in it. How many's heard this over and over? Life is a journey. You hear that all the time. Life's a journey. And there's a little truth to that. I hear people testify, I'm on a journey. I'm on a journey. It started in the world. It's got in the church. And actually, it started in the church and the world. Abuse that. But I want to tell you, what is not contemplated and what's left out is the question, if you're on a journey, where does your journey end? Where does your journey end? The journey you're taking, extrapolate that out into the future. Where does it end? Where does it end? If you're born again, washed in the blood, your journey ends back in the garden where we came from. But if you reject Christ in unbelief and doubt, your journey ends in a place created not for man, like the garden, but a place created for Satan. It's called hell. There's only one or two destination. How many can say with true gratefulness, I know my destination. I'm headed back to the garden. I'm headed to heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I've got to quit with this because it just keeps coming to me, keeps coming to me. I used an illustration from it for another purpose, another sermon, but recently I listened to the book of Elizabeth Smart. She was a girl in the Salt Lake City suburb that in the middle of the night she was abducted from her home at knife point, taken up in the high desert mountains of Utah. She was cabled, the 20-foot cable. And trying to hide, her abductors, a man and his wife, trying to hide, they got off the beaten path. And they were so high up away from the beaten path, there was no stream of water. There was no source of water. It was hot up there in the summertime. And so just very few times, every couple of weeks or so, they would go down with empty milk jugs. And they'd fill the water up in the springs, but they would take them back up to their camp in the mountains. And it wasn't long till that water got tepid and hot and tasting like the plastic containers it was in out in the sun. And Elizabeth Smart says she's never been able to explain this. Here she is cabled, daily, daily molested and abused, treated worse than an animal, unable to bathe or anything, 14 years old at the time, away from her family. She said she was so crushed, just trying, didn't know how she could go on. And she said one night, maybe it was in the day, but one day, she was praying. She said, God, you got to help me. You got to help me. I can't make it. I can't survive like this. She said she prayed for a while, and she opened her eyes. And when she did, she said there was a cup of water there. And she touched the cup. It was cold. She knew her captors had never left. They were over in another area of the camp. She said she took that cup and drank and drank and felt that coldness. It refreshed not only her body, but her soul and her mind. She said, I know that none of my captors brought that. Nobody knew where we were at. She said, I believe God put that cup of water right there. That cold, refreshing water, put it right there in front of me. Hallelujah. I know the source of that river is heaven. But listen to me across the room. There are some of you, not exactly Elizabeth Smart's condition, but your soul is dry. The thing you're up against is sapping you. You feel so used and abused and hurt, confused. And the source of the river may be there in heaven, but I believe if you'd turn your heart and your faith to God, you'd find that He'd put right in front of you a cup of cold, refreshing, quenching water right there for you this morning to take a hold of. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to me, give me, thou would ask of Him, and He would give thee living water. How many believe that stands for this morning? How many, come on, really, really, you believe if we would ask, He would give you a cup. Could you stand your feet all over the bed? Here's the altar call. You say, Pastor, I know we're headed back to the source of that river, but I need a cup of cold water this morning. You don't have to explain anything else. You don't have to go into anything else. You just say, from God, I need a cup of cold water this morning, without any hesitation, from all over this building. If that's you, nobody needs to know the reason. If that's you, I want you to begin to come and fill this altar and say, oh, I need a cup of cold water this morning. I've got to have a cup of cold water. Are you here? Begin to fill this altar. Lord, I've got to have that water. I've got to have that renewing. I've got to have that refreshing. Amen. I've got to have it. I must have it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to believe Him. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Ask, and He'll give you living water. You don't even have anything to draw with. Maybe you're here and you don't know the Lord. I want to promise you, nothing in this world will ever quench the thirst of your soul. But if you'll come to Jesus Christ, He'll quench the thirst of your soul. Are you here? You don't know the Lord. Would you join these that have gathered in the altar? And make church as we come to pray. Let's believe Him. Let's believe Him. Let's believe Him. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's it. Just come and ask Him for that cup of cold water. Hallelujah. We're headed back to the garden.
With no heartache, child.
Oh, back to the garden. Are you asking Him? Are you asking Him, Lord, I need a cup of cold water. I need a cup of cold water, Lord.
No more tears to dim the eyes.
Oh, back to the garden. I'm thirsty, Lord.
All is peace.
I'm headed to the source. But I need a cup this morning. Hallelujah.
On that happy golden shore.
Come on, believe Him. Reach out by faith. Believe Him. Believe Him. Believe Him. Believe the Lord. Believe the Lord. Believe Him this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Believe Him this morning.
What a day that will be.
Won't you reach out and take a hold of it this morning?
Jesus, I shall see. When I look, upon His face,
back to His presence.
The one who saved.
packed to His presence.
Lead me by His grace.
Oh,
and
hallelujah.
He takes me by the
hand. We know where we've come from. We know where we're going.
And leads me through the promises.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Day, glorious day that will
back
be.
To the garden. You say, I'm struggling with something. Let God put it under your feet through Christ. All things are under His feet. Hallelujah.
There'll be no more sorrow there, no more sickness, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there, and forever.
It may be rough for you right now, but if you're a believer, you're headed back to the garden, back to paradise, back to heaven, back to the presence of God, back to no curse, back to the river of life, back to the tree of life. Oh, hallelujah. I'm kind of homesick. Place I've never been. Oh, but I have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
What a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, what a day that will be. With my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who
take a drink. Take a drink from the river of life. It flows all the way from heaven. All the way from heaven.
Hallelujah. Oh, there'll be
no
sorrow there.
No sorrow there.
No more burdens.
No more curse.
No. No pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, most glorious day. What a day.